Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's great to have you on here. Always great to talk about Jesus and the plan that he has for our lives. Great term coming up today, and we got into it a little bit in Sunday school last night, our Wednesday night prayer service. And what that was the opportunity, or not the opportunity, but the idea that when I say I'm sorry, you know, if I'm just playing a game with Jesus and I say I'm sorry, or, you know, other people or, you know, trying to get me to do something and I do it to make them happy, listen, all that stuff's going to be washed away, because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ and you are going to have a one-on-one. And that one-on-one, Jesus is going to say, "Enter in, ye good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many." Or he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, that's just as simple and as just whatever as it can be. Now, so I don't care how you slice it. I don't care what your game is. You know, people play games at church. People come to the altar or come to churches to try to get financial help, you know, when, you know, it just seems like that'd be the logical thing, you know. But you got to realize the church is going through 100 years of that, you know, being used, or people begging you to pray for them, praying for them, and now you watch them on Facebook and they don't care whatsoever, you know, and they even say things kind of contrary to God's word and different things. And granted, we didn't have Facebook when I was a kid. It would have probably been a lot worse. But I had a healthy fear of the Lord my entire life. I'm trying to get across to you, you better start getting a healthy fear of the Lord, because if you don't, one day that face-to-face meeting with you and Jesus Christ is not going to go the way that you want it to go. And that's just the way it is. I mean, it just, you know, we can play games and we can play church and we can play, you know, hey, I've got a ministry and, you know, it has nothing to do with Jesus, or, you know, but at the end of the day, it's going to come face to face and Jesus is going to say to you, enter in or depart. Now, what are you waiting on? What are you doing? What's wrong in your life? Oh, everything's wrong. You just wouldn't understand. Listen, I could probably just about sympathize with anything. But at the end of the day, the thing that's got to be lined up and the thing that has to be squared away between you and Jesus Christ is Jesus loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And if you leave him no other choice, he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why on earth would we want to do that? Well, I don't think I can live it. Well, guess what? None of us have been able to live it. But there's something that happens to the saved person. There's a way about us. There's something different, and that is that God lives inside of the saved person, and he cleans from the inside out, and he carries us from the inside out, and he's always there when nobody else wants to hear our line of the day. Does that make sense? So with Jesus, all these wonderful things are possible in this world. Why? Because he believes in the truth. And Jesus there in John 14 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If I don't understand the truth of Jesus Christ, a sinless lamb sent by God, who was the Son of God, who was a perfect God, who was in heaven at the right hand of his Father, made himself lower than the angels in order to come down and die for you and me. That's just what he did. We got to reference that. We've got to get excited about that. We've got to repent or change from the direction I'm headed in my life, because it's going toward hell if I've never accepted Jesus. Now, if I've accepted Jesus somewhere over the years and God is in control of my life and I am trying to do the right thing and I have roadblocks, I can come back to Jesus and say, "Jesus, forgive me." If I've never been saved, I can say, "Jesus, forgive me." But if my heart is not broken and I am not going to make a conscious effort to do better, and I'm just playing a game, I might as well save my breath. Because at the end of the day, it can't be done, okay? I can't trick God. I'm not going to be the one person that slips into heaven over a technicality, or Jesus had his head turned, or Peter dropped the keys to the pearly gates. You know, all this silliness, it's going to be completely lined out at some point in history. And I tell you, man, one of the things that kills my soul is I had to unfriend a few people this past week. Because you can attack anything you want to attack about me, and I'm cool with that. But there's some things you just can't do, and I'm not going to put up with it, you know. And I hate that in some ways because I wanted to be a witness to the situation. But when people go beyond, you know, a certain level, man, you just got to cast them off. And that's a shame because Jesus doesn't want that to happen. But, you know, you just fight it and you fight it and you fight it and you just got to go on at some point. And it's the same thing witnessing to people. It's the same thing. That's why I love this radio program because I have absolutely no clue who's listening to this. I see numbers, right? But at the end of this day, you know, there's nothing out this about this situation. All this stuff that we're playing, all these games, all this politics. I mean, it is so silly. Some of this political stuff is so amazingly silly, you know, that I look at it and I'm like, man, if somebody would do something this stupid at this level, what is being done at the national level? What is being done at the presidential level? And then I say, oh, I see what the fight is against Trump and Hillary and all these people. I see the treachery and I see the power struggle because, man, what's the deal? They got to get into protector people. They got to get into protector payoffs. They got all this corruption. Whew. It's a wonder our country can run it all. Isn't it incredible? All of this corruption. It's unbelievable. But anyway, what do I have to worry about? I have to worry about my personal relationship with Jesus. What do you have to worry about? You've got to worry about. I got to live in this world, but I'm not of this world anymore. I made the crossover. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind, meaning this, Jesus Christ has a plan for me, and it's to take me to a place called heaven. That's what the plan is. He's not going to sit around here and work all this stuff up and create a heaven and earth and create man in his likeness and his image and then all of a sudden say, well, I'm not interested anymore. Because of one reason, that you know, or not because of one, but the one big reason is God can't change his mind. You ever stop and think about that for a second? God can't change his mind. It said it repented God that he made man there early in the Bible. I think somewhere there in Genesis. Maybe it was Exodus with Moses. But the idea was God has always known what's going to happen. He's out there at the end of human history. And he's in a place called heaven with those that believe right now. So knowing that and seeing those promises in the Bible, what do I have to fear? You see? I can look at some of the silly that's out there, and I can look at some of the corruption, and I can think, would grown people really cheat somebody like that? And the answer is yeah. Would grown people really take advantage? And, you know, you've grown to a position where people are expecting you to do the right thing, and you clearly do the wrong thing. Whoo! What's it all about? Well, Lunsford, you're just mad because you didn't get the endorsement. No, I'm just mad because common sense can't prevail. Because I don't care. See, my opponent is he's a trial lawyer. Now, if I won an endorsement over him for something in the law field, that'd be insane. You know, that'd be like giving me the estate planning award. Now you say, well, but you do that kind of planning and retirement plan. That's true. But to give it over someone who's been legally trained in that is completely crazy, you see. So you think about these things. So here it is. What are we going to do? It's not we, it's you. You're one-on-one with Jesus Christ at the end of eternity. What have you done? What will he do? He is not going to look past where you've been born. He's not going to look past how bad your mommy and your daddy was. He's not going to look bad about the fact you was born in an economically depressed area. He's not going to look past the fact that you were taken advantage of as a child. He's going to look at you and say you had an opportunity to repent. He's probably even going to show us the amount of people that have come to us and asked us to come to Jesus. I hate to think of my life, how many people, my grandma being number one, Grandma Lunsford, how many people have come to me, man, oh man, how many people have come to me in my history and said, wow, you know, your grandma. How many times has grandma prayed for old Lunsford here? You see? And there's people that's prayed for us. There's people that's worried about us and cried over us and begged the Lord to save us. And God's presented himself to save us. Probably started age 10 with me, maybe sooner. See, God's plan's bigger than your plan. And the thing is, I mean, I can say this right now. God's plan is not going to be something that you jump up and down and say, wow, this is a better plan. And you're not going to say that because the plan is different because God's got people in his plan. See, God's got people in his plan. Now, what's the problem with that? God has people in his plan. See, God wants the best for us. God's plan's better than my plan. God's put me doing things that need to be done to get people to heaven. Oh, man, do I wish I had this or wish I had a better job or wish I had a higher paying job or wished I was more, you know, all the material things, all those worldly things still go through my mind. You know, I still wish this, that, and the other and all kinds of different stuff. But at the end of the day, there's a power here, you see. There's something about doing something for Jesus because that's what I've been told to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There's something about telling somebody that, hey, you came into this world with nothing, you'll go out of this world with nothing, but here's what I can tell you about is Jesus. What Jesus does is he gives you eternal life. If that can't get you and me excited, I don't know what we do from here, right? Oh, excuse me. I thought that drink of coffee was going to go down the wrong hole there or something. But that's where we're at in all this. You know, we can sit around and look and study and think and have all this big time highfalutin stuff, but at the end of the day, what is going on here? What is the situation? You see, am I where I need to be with Jesus? Oh, I go to the church and I cry about how bad things are. And I make all these requests for prayer and then I go home and I never talk to Jesus. I never pray. I never let on. I never do anything. Only time I ever identify as a Christian is at church. It's a bad situation. The only time I ever identify as a Christian is when I'm in the church house. I don't know. Listen, repent, change the way you're going. You can do it. Why? Because Jesus is going to live inside. Jesus wants you to change. He wants you to come back. If you're out of fellowship, if you've never come to Jesus, you've tried everything else in the world, try Jesus. And guess what? If you don't like it, you can quit. That's the one thing I have tried and not quit my whole life. Now, you say, wow, you've never quit on Jesus. I've never been in a powerhouse that I should have been. But I have never had a day where I woke up and said, well, I'm just not saved today. I wish I wasn't saved today, or I wish I didn't have Jesus today, or I wish I had the confusion in my life that I had before I got saved. I don't have that conversation. In fact, I think you would almost commit somebody like that to the nut house that had that thought, you see. Because that's the way this thing works. That's the craziness that's out there. I have to cut it off today, but my thought for you today is to repent. What does it mean? Change your ways. Don't run towards sin, but run away from it. Oh, I don't think there's any way I could quit drinking. I don't think there's any way I could quit cussing. I know I said the same thing. But here's what you can do. With Jesus Christ in your life, you can do all things. And that's what this thing's all about. Jesus has a master plan for you. And I guarantee his master plan's better than your plan. Have a great day. God bless.